بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. This is the beginning of the 30th juz of the Quran Kareem, Surah An-Naba. The reason why we are discussing it is about 2 years ago I had started a series. At that time Corona had begun, and it came in the heart that the protection of myself, my family, and everyone around us is in understanding the meaning of Quran. So to make it easy for some people to get certain understanding of what we are reading, a series began, and thereafter it was that once, whenever Thursday night there was a program, it was devoted to a surah of the Quran. By the kindness of Almighty Allah, we have reached now 29 juz of the Quran Kareem has completed. This is the beginning of the 30th. May Allah Tabarakala make it reach its completion. May Allah let the barakat of Quran through this dars, through every dars that is given of Quran, let it enter our hearts, let it enter into the hearts of whoever listened to it. May Allah Tabarakala let not one person ever be deprived of the barakat of the loves, the wording and the meaning of Quran. To a great extent in the month of Ramadan, because of the Taraweeh Salah, those people who don't even know how to read Quran, they get an opportunity to at least listen to the Quran. When we visited Turkey recently, in certain masjids, one was what we know as the Hagia Sophia. So there, Mustafa Kemal, when he became president of the country, he banned Salah to take place. And he converted it from a masjid into what he called a museum. And from that day, no salah ever took place in what was known as the first masjid after the conquest of Constantinople. The first masjid that was made ready for salah when Constantinople was conquered was this Hagia Sophia. And then he banned it. And so many years passed. Allah Tabarakallah was always going to let the haq one day come up again. So we were fortunate this year, after 88 years, the first Taraweeh Salah took place. After 88 years. And it was a scene, it was things that when you will live in that country, you will understand it in a different light. If you just have to see it, you will wonder, like, look at this woman. You would see an example of people after the Taraweeh Salah. They remain there for the full Taraweeh, full. Whereas for years in their life, they had no Taraweeh in their lives. Now when they got that opportunity, they don't want to leave the masjid. So they remain for the full Taraweeh. So while we're coming out, you will see examples of boys and girls, meaning husband and wife. That woman now might not be full with burqa and scarf. When she entered the Hagia Sophia, definitely she had to put on a burqa. The law is. But now when she's coming out, she never grew up. She grew up understanding there's no need for trouser. There's no need for scarf. There's no need for anything. She grew up like that. When Allah created the revival, even that woman who has never put a scarf on her head, in the month of Ramadan, you would see that woman also remaining for the entire Taraweeh in the masjid. And late at night when we coming out, we're finding that that woman is also meeting her husband. Now there's no scarf on her hair. Now if someone looks at her, they'll think that you are European, what you doing in the masjid? But when she walked past us, for us it was a question that what brought this woman and made her stay in the masjid till the end of the Taraweeh. It is the love of Quran and the affection of Quran. It will pull every person back onto Islam. So when they came out of that 88 years, two things they had to do. One is start the Taraweeh again in these areas, which never had. So the government had a fear. What if the people who never ever stood for more than 1 or 2 minutes, and now you're going to make them listen to the whole Quran? And they wanted to keep the 20 rakats of Taraweeh. They never want to make it 10 or 8. So finally the government decided, in the other masajid there's full 20 and full Quran. But in these places where there was never ever, the government decided at the moment they will read very short. So they don't make a khatam of Quran, they read little in each rakat, little. But full 20 rakats. After 2 rakats, there's a little zikr that takes place. After 4 rakats, there's a little extra zikr that takes place. It's an entire fiza environment of like ibadah. That night is like brimming with spirituality. So when I came out, I asked someone, but where will these people get the barakah of Quran? They got 20 rakats tarawih, but no Quran. He said, even that the government thought about. He said, 1 hour before the Fajr Salah. 1 hour before the Fajr Salah. He said, if you come to these masajid, you will find them brimming with musallis. 1 hour before the Fajr, what will happen? The Imam will take the Quran. And the people will take Qurans. They do not know how to read Quran. They will just put their hands, and as he's reading, whoever can will try and follow. And pages will be turning. There will be those who will have Quran in their hands. There will be those without any Quran. The amount of respect you will see in these people is, as that Quran is being read, you won't find them moving also. They will just sit. And that entire one juz of Quran, what we have in the Taraweeh, they're getting it before the Fajr Salah. Out of that shock that I mustn't miss the barakah of Quran in any way. The month of Ramadan has brought Quran in the lives of the world. One thing we are missing is the meaning of Quran. And if that meaning of Quran can come into our lives, and arrangements can be made, that our children, especially those who are in the maktabs and those that are in the hifz classes, they are giving already 3 years, 4 years for Quran. It should not happen after 4 years they can read Quran like Sheikh Abdul Basit. But if you ask them, what does it mean? They say, I don't know. 4 years is more than enough for a child to be put on a system where to a great extent he can start learning the meaning of Quran. People have begun experimenting already, and they found within 1 year, majority of the work gets done. Within 1 year. They have started in maktab certain places, that the boy, when he finishes his course of 7 years or 6 years in the maktab, one thing he comes out with is the understanding of the basic surahs of Quran. A little bit. When Muslim schools started in the country, they had something called Arabic. And they were very proud about it. That like how they teach Afrikaans and how they teach Zulu, we teach Arabic. But what they did, they brought Arabic which no one ever uses. In that Arabic book you will find there, you go to the airport, ilal matar, go to the airport. Now when you go to the airport, Zaid has to speak and says, where you want to go to? Ila aina turidu. So then he will say, I intend going to Dubai. Then they say, how much is a ticket? Become a tazkira. When I was reading that, I said, in today's era, that poor boy will learn that Arabic. And he'll land up at the airport. And he's going to try his funny Arabic. That person on the other counter will say, sir, I speak English. Finish. They are going to ask you for Arabic. The whole world today, Google Translate, you speak your language. You don't need to learn Arabic. Modern day Arabic. I said this in certain places, that in that Muslim school you are wasting the years of that child, where you are given the best time of his life, her life, to teach that child the meaning of Quran. You went to go teach the child how to buy a ticket to go to Dubai. Some schools already changed it. They thought about it. That what does the child need to learn that Arabic, because no one uses that. In that same amount of time, so some of them changed it towards understanding the lughat of Quran. In our madaris, may Allah make it happen. Any language can be taught to a young child. Children learn languages faster than anyone else. If that child at the end of Amma Para, When they have completed their reading, they know that from Wadduha onwards, the meaning also I know. A little explanation I know. Every time the Imam says, Wadduha, Wallayli Idha Saja, that small child is remembering how the teacher taught him or her the meaning of that surah. The example that was given, that child will find a connection with Quran. That will put that child onto a mission, that how I enjoyed few surahs and its meaning. And words of Quran repeat themselves. Once you got one para, one juz, words then repeat themselves in all the other juz. Those that want to then continue will continue. The ustads, the people in charge, parents, everyone must make a dua and an effort. That the meaning of Quran, as we enjoying in this country, qiraat to what a level. There was a time where in this country people would never read so wonderful. The imam was not reading so wonderful. Where were the children going to be reading? Allah's kindness, we reached a level where everyone is reading beautiful Quran. Now we go one step up the ladder. The time must come where the Arab sees the non-Arab. In today's time when they meet us and they hear Quran, they say, where you learned how to read Quran? You're not Arab. The time must come where they must say, where did you learn the meaning of Quran? You're not Arab. Allah has said in Quran, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرَنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Indeed, we have made this Quran very easy. لِلذِّكْرِ, for advice to be taken from it. It was made easy to read. It was made easy to memorize. لِلذِّكْرِ, easy for advice to be taken, meaning we have made this Quran so easy that if you want to learn the language and understand the meaning, it is not hard at all. Then Allah Tabarakala asks the question, فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرْ. Is there anyone amongst you who is ready to do this? Every one of us inside say, Allah, I'm ready. I am ready. I want to make this journey where I can understand what this Quran is. I can understand this message. Every time when a surah is read, I want to live through the surah. I am the one being spoken to. The surah An-Naba. Amma yatasa'aloon. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the day of Qiyamah. He spoke about life after death. There are certain topics people don't like too much. There are certain topics some like, some don't like. Topics that some like, some don't like is man likes topic of second wife. And wife just doesn't like to hear that. Those are those topics. Certain topics no one wants to hear, you call it death. Allah's Nabi said, and certain topics everyone wants to hear. Umrah, let's go for Umrah, everyone is happy. Woman is happy, man is happy. But this topic about death, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about life after. And one said to the other, one disbeliever, that is that the only thing he got to talk about? Is that the only thing? Allah tabarakala said, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Regarding what are they questioning each other? عَنِ النَّبَئِ الْعَظِيمِ. Are they asking why is he discussing that news which is the most important news in the world? عَنِ النَّبَئِ الْعَظِيمِ. That news which is extremely important. الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. News regarding which man is on different stages, which has many meanings. There are those people in this world who say, I don't believe in it at all. There are those in this world who say, I believe in life after death, but I'm not too happy about it. There are those that say, I believe in it, but I don't want to think about it. And there are those that say, I dream about it. Man is on stages. Another meaning of hum fihi mukhtalifun, that which regarding which man will have different stages. There will be those going in that world and will be going into a garden. There will be those entering that world and entering into a fire. There will be those going to enjoy sleep. There will be those having nightmares. Allah says that you are going on a journey. And as soon as someone said to you, you know what? The road is, then you told me, just keep quiet. I don't want to know of the road. Don't spoil my journey. Everyone will say, telling you of the road is not spoiling the journey. Telling you of the road is getting you ready for the journey. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to describe to us. He described it in such a manner. Up till now, many of us, we have this thing when we hear of qabr, we get scared. The way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the grave doesn't make it scary at all. We hear of the year after death, we get worried. The way he described it doesn't make a person get scared. He described it in such a manner. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Jannah in such a manner that he brought it closer and closer and closer to a nation who just yesterday was killing their daughters. He brought Jannah so close that a Sahabi would feel that Jannah is right in front of me. He says it was as if the Sahabi was seeing paradise. He was seeing the gardens of paradise. He was seeing the waters of paradise. He was seeing the woman of paradise, the grapes of paradise, the fruits of paradise. He brought it so close that the Sahabi began feeling that if I now just put my hand front, it will actually enter into paradise. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing salah. In that salah, he went front. It was the first time he moved in salah with an entire jamaat behind him. He went front. At the end of the salah, Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, what was that movement? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the salah, Allah opened up for me Jannah. In the salah, I saw the grapes of Jannah. So unique it was that I went forward to try to grab it. He said, had I taken that bunch, had I taken it in my hand, but it was then said to me, not now. Had I taken that, he said, you would have continued eating from that bunch of grapes till the last day. It would have remained in its pure, pure form. This world and the air of this world would never have spoilt it. Every time someone would eat one, another would grow in its place. Just one bunch of grapes would have changed the entire world. Imagine Jannah itself. The surah was going to take us on this journey. That knowing of the coming, what's going to happen, is not scary. Rather, it makes the journey enjoyable. The only thing is, a man tells you, when you're going to go on this journey, you will enjoy the mountains. At the same time, he'll tell you, but watch out for the potholes. He will say, watch out for that unique turn. Because if you don't take the turn properly, you'll go off the cliff. He is not making men scared of the journey. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came bashira wa nadira. He came as a giver of glad tidings. That wonderful is what is in front. Wa nadira. And he also gave a warning that don't miss out. Don't miss out. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, kalla saya'lamun, thumma kalla saya'lamun. That kalla means that even if someone says, I don't want to hear about this. Let's talk about something exciting. Don't talk about death. Kalla. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, forget your talk. Saya'lamun. Very soon everyone will understand what is the next journey. When is that very soon? As soon as my eye closes, your eye closes. The beginning of paradise or hell, whether man wants it or not, will start in the grave. There are some people who think in the grave I'm only going to sleep. So some people don't like, some people love sleeping, but they don't like to sleep forever and ever and ever. And in a grave where there's no lights, and in a grave where there's insects, and in a grave where there's sand and darkness. So even a believer sometimes says, I'm scared to sleep. I want Jannah. But I don't want the grave. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us, where we bury a person is not what is known as the world of the grave. Where we bury a person, that's what is called the cupboard for the clothes of this world. When you are finished your clothing, then you wrap it up. Then you put it in the drawer, and it can stay in the drawer for the next 10 years. Similarly, when man dies, this body is wrapped up. The work of the body is finished. Where we put the body is not called the world of the grave. We call that grave, it is called sand. It is the grave of the body. It is not the grave of the soul. That soul is taken away by an angel. Either it's an angel that brought silk and it wrapped it in silk, because your life after this is going to be pure and enjoyable. Or it's an angel that has brought punishment to say that now get ready for things that you will never ever be able to understand. When it was mentioned, the grave is either a garden of paradise, it is that garden. Whatever is going to come in Jannah, the beginning of it, the menu, the first taste, the first experiment, the first level of ecstasy, the first bite from the fruit of Jannah, the first travel under the arsh, the throne of Allah, the first view towards paradise, the first smell of the fragrance of Jannah, the first taste of what is called the bed of Jannah. Everything happens in the grave. And on the other side also, it is a mirror towards Jahannam. May Allah save us all. When man will be in that world of the grave, every time he lies on the bed, he will find it so soft. He will say to the angel that if this is so unique, then what is the real world coming? When is Qiyamah? And the angel will say, rest, there's still Lord to show you. When he will smell paradise, it will put him in such an ecstasy. He will say, when can I stand up and enter? The angel will say, rest. And a man on the other side, if he is not in a good condition, whenever he will scream in pain, the angel will say to him, do you think this is painful? This is just a taste of what is still going to come. Allah save us all from horrors. Allah gave us this Quran to tell us that the path ahead, although it's dangerous, but if we just walk to the right, if we just keep our focus on our path, then Almighty Allah will grab the individual and take him to what has been kept for him. What is that world coming? Allah Tabarakala says, Alam Najalil Arda Mihada. This part here of the surah was to say that why are you scared of the world of the grave? And why are you scared of the world of Jannah? Why are we so scared to die? Many a time we're scared to die because we think there's nothing better after death. So you see the child in the womb of the mother, the child thought the same thing. When the child was created and that soul was blown in, that child, after getting life, remains in that mother's stomach for about 5 months. Because 9 months is the maximum. And he gets it after 4 months, then life comes into the child. In only 5 months of moving around in that womb, the child began thinking that there can be nothing better than the life within the womb. That is why when mommy gives birth to the child comes out crying. When he comes out crying to say, I don't want to come out. But as soon as the child comes out, as soon as the child tastes the food of this world, the child starts running around kicking his ball. The child starts driving. The child starts looking at the world as the world's supposed to be. And as man grows up and his interest changes, and Allah created so many things of beauty and enjoyment. Everywhere he looks, every scene, everything tells him, this is wow, amazing. And every time he's introduced to the next level, he says, I never thought it could be so great. Then we become like the child. It took the child 5 months to fall in a lie. Me and you in 50 years, we fall in the same lie. After 50 years of our life, we become baligh by about 12, 13. Now we got 50 years. With that 50 and you give yourself that other 10, you're reaching 60, 65. At the age of 65, where the man supposed to say, I have seen more than enough of this world, And I have already said, Allah, if you made it so wonderful here, and then you also said, but this is not equal to the wing of the mosquito. Then you also said, this does not have any value at all. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described this world when he picked up that dead goat. And he said, the world by Allah is like this, this dead goat. And then he described what is day coming. When he said, if one of the women of that other world, paradise, if that woman just has to allow her face, forget the face, the scarf that she is wearing, if she has to allow it to drop into the world, the brilliance of the light of the scarf itself will cause that sun, what we understand as the greatest, that sun will lose its shine. Just when that scarf will drop. If you were to be able to hear their voices, the whole world will go into a level of ecstasy, which they'll never come out of. Allah Tabarakala was not going to allow, forget the brilliance of Allah, which man one day will see in that world. Forget the brilliance of Allah. Even the woman of that world in their original state, the woman of that world in their original state, out of their original state, there were times where Allah Tabarakala allowed them to make a journey down, out of their original state. There were times where certain of Allah's friends had such unique experiences. There was a jamaat. This jamaat was known as the jamaat of robbers. And something happened in the chief's life because of which he said, you know what, I'm coming out of this. I'm making tawbah. They said, we always robbed with you. If you are changing your life, we'll change our life. They changed. After changing, he said that to make up for the amount of years of what evil we did, we guarantee, we promise Allah, we will search for death in the battlefield. Meaning whenever the army is going to fight, we will say to the Muslim army, we will not be with you all. We will be separate. And when the battle is on its heat, and no one is expecting another attack from nowhere, we will launch the attack. We will come with our own party. We will run into the enemy. We got no protection. He said, we are the Jamaat searching for death. And they began doing this because of which so many victories came to the Muslims. The Roman Emperor said at that time, I have heard of this group. They are causing havoc in the armies. He said, place a trap for them somehow or the other. Somehow or the other. So in the ending, they were finally caught. And then when the emperor took them to a certain place, then one by one he told them, why don't you become Christian? You join my army. And I will give you this, and I will give you this, and I will give you that. If you do not, then every one of you all will be put in this burning cauldron, and you will see your friend, while alive, his body will burn. They mentioned the person who's mentioning, he was the only one who survived. He was the leader. He survived. He said every friend of his, as they were walking there, they saw that there was a woman who was standing at that cauldron. And as that person was being told, we're going to drop you, and happily he was going, as his body fell in, they found that woman also jumping in. She jumped in boiling water and she pulled him out, and then they saw she taking him to the skies. That was his woman of Jannah. One after one. The chief, he's narrating, he said, I also walked towards. And just when I was walking, then the emperor said that I'm fed up with you people. I'm fed up. He said, I want you to come and I'll talk to you. And he had another plan that he was going to now to put this chief with his daughter. And he told his daughter, somehow or the other, you must spend so much of time with him that he must fall in love with you. So that's a different story what happened after that. But this person says, as he walked to the cauldron, and that girl was there waiting for him. And just when they're going to take him to drop him, the emperor said, hold on. And he said that woman of Jannah looked at him and she went like this. Like, sorry. I was waiting for you, but you're not coming to me. And he said, and he saw her flying. He would say, I was the only one who was left with the things of this world where my friends got the best of the year after already. He went and he spent time. That princess, she tried whatever she wanted to try. And this person, after seeing the woman of Jannah, where he was going to even look at her. Finally, she fell in love with him. The opposite happened. She fell in love. And then she came and said to him, you have broken my heart. Is there no way that you can spend some time with me? He said, my religion doesn't allow it. But if you will be ready to accept Islam, then it's a different story. He said, I'll do whatever you want. And she made a plan. The both of them escaped. They escaped. She became Muslim. She left the entire kingdom. She left her entire kingdom. As they are running, and they know that they are still in the empire of her father, and anyone can find out that they're gone and start chasing them, as they are running and running and running, and he can't continue anymore, and he stops, and he says, I don't think we're going to make it. At that time, he sees a jamaat of soldiers. This was after a while, from his friends passing away, he sees a jamaat of soldiers. He thought it's the Romans. He saw this group coming. These were his friends. He looked at them, he said, but I thought you're dead. So the first thing they said to them, to him, didn't you hear that verse of Quran where Almighty Allah said, don't ever use the word dead for the people who died for Allah. How can you call us dead? He said, after dying and being shown by Allah what we were shown, we asked Allah permission that can our souls continue taking part in jihad till the ending? That wherever there's some mission to be done on earth, will permission be given for our souls to go? Says Allah in His kindness gave that permission. Certain things like this happen. He said, wherever there's something, then our souls are joining. He said, we were now sent to direct you home. And they took him, and they said, we are going. And the next morning when they woke up, they found they were back in the lands of Islam. Meaning they made the journey very short. He was given the chance to see one woman of paradise. All she did to him was this. That sorry. And that one thought was going to remain with him his whole life. He never touched her. He never kissed her. He never got the fragrance of her. There was one wali of Allah. He was in a battlefield. They saw the woman of Jannah coming down. He saw his friends getting a drink. He saw one woman coming and putting the drink right by his lip. He saw another woman pull her away and say, he's not from them. He's still going to love. And he loved. Allah Tabarakala made it that perhaps that poor thought that he's also among the dead. Whatever it was. This wali of Allah, in life, many times people would see him licking his lip, like this. So someone asked him, what's this every time you're doing? He said, I was that one who had the chance to taste just a drop from that goblet. It just touched my lip and one woman pulled the other one and said, he's not from them. He said, from that day, the sweetness of what I enjoyed has never left my lap. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one sahabiya. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was small, it was Ayman radiyallahu anha, who was Abdullah's slave girl. And because Abdullah passed away before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, and Amina radiyallahu anha was going to pass away very shortly after the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the age of 6. Ayman was like the mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say also, this is my mother. After my mother, she is my mother. He grew up with her. On a certain journey she had to make, Ayman, she came to a place where there was nothing. And then Allah tabarakala allowed water to come down. She took a sip of that water. Umm Ayman radiallahu anha would narrate, "For the rest of my life, I never ever experienced thirst. Never. Living in a desert, if she ever drank water, she drank it for enjoyment. One drink. That world is coming where things are real." Allah Ta'ala says, "Don't you trust Allah?" To say, "Don't you trust Allah?" How Allah put it? He said, "Alam naj'alil arda mihada," that you enjoy this world. Who made the world so nice? Allah said, "Did we not make the earth for you, mihad, so comfortable like a cradle?" So comfortable. How you drive on the edges, how you move around, how that child is on the bicycle, how that boy is on that skate. Everyone is moving, everyone is stable. How pegs were put into the plates of the earth to prevent the earth shaking. Allah says, "Didn't I make it for you comfortable?" Meaning, if I made it here comfortable, you think there I'm not going to make it comfortable. Wal jibala awtada, did I not put mountains as pegs to keep everything in place? Wa khalaqnakum azwaja, now and then the world experiences a tremor, a shake. Allah save us all. Now and then the world sees an earthquake. We have seen it from far. We saw pictures of it. It is just one move of the plates of the earth, and the beautiful palaces, mansions, buildings, everything collapses to the ground. The beauty of everything in 1 minute, everything is gone. Allah Ta'ala said, "Who kept everything in place?" When everything is in place here, don't you trust your Allah there that everything will be in place? When you have seen the builder and what he has done, and then the builder said, "My friend, this is nothing. I want to really show you what I did." Almighty Allah, after creating everything here, he said, "This is not worth the wing of the mosquito. Now come and I will show you what's really got some worth." That is that world we go into. Allah Ta'ala says, "Waj'alna nawmakum subata." Do you think Allah will not give you in that world peace and enjoyment? وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, have we not created for you in this world your spouses? Which that man says, "I don't want to die." One reason he says, "How can I leave my wife?" Almighty Allah says, "Then who gave you? Was it not us that made her yours? That one Allah that gave here already, do you think he's not going to give there? Do you think he will not make the husband come back with his spouse? Do you think he will not create happiness and enjoyment?" Allah says, "In this world have I not made sleep for you, that it cuts you off from all the worries of this world. When in this world I brought sleep for you, do you think there I won't bring rest for you?" وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا, did I not give you night in this world, which covers you like clothing? How everything becomes sleep, peaceful. And then the day came where everything becomes light, and now you are able to earn. Did I not send your food for you? Did I not send your sustenance for you? All of those questions is like a father saying to his son, "Don't you trust me?" The beginning of the surah is that. That why are you scared to come on this journey to Allah? Thereafter Allah Ta'ala then speaks about that, yes, at the end of this journey, whether you want to make it or not, "Inna yawma al-fasli kana miqata," I have already made your appointment. The date of your appointment is set. It is called the day of the decision. In this world, you don't want to go to the dentist. So the dentist got the appointment. But if me and you don't want to go, all we just do is say, "I'm not well." And we don't pitch up. If you don't land by the dentist, he can't pull out the tooth. But by Almighty Allah, the appointment is such that even if me and you say, "I'm not coming," there's an angel coming to fetch. Allah Ta'ala says, on that day, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ, when the trumpet will be blown, like how you have in the school and madrasa, that bell. And when that bell rings, then you see everyone running. فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا, you will come running in your groups and in your armies. The sky will open up. وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالِ, the mountains will be moving. It will now be like just sand. Inna jahannam kanat mirsada. There on one side is Jahannam, Allah save us all. It will be waiting for the transgressors, lit taghin. Allah let none of us stand in front of Allah as a transgressor. That is why we have something called tawbah. That is why we have something called saying, Allah, I am sorry. In this path towards Allah, there is no pride. In this path towards Allah, there is no, I do not have any hope. You can't have pride to think that I know I'm going to make it. And on the other side, you can't be so down that you say, I'm not going to make it. This is a road which is called Bain al-Khawfi wal-Raja. It is a road we walk on with so much of hope in Allah. And at the same time, we are covered with a certain fear. We do not want to make Allah angry. And at the same time, to make Allah happy is not impossible, it's very easy. It is a road where we are just told, carry on walking. You trip, you fall, stand up again, say sorry and walk again. It is a road where Allah wants us to reach the landing. He is not pushing us off. But pride, arrogance, ignorance must not make us do certain things. One is some people have taken a road of atheism. And they want to prove why I can be an atheist. It could have been the Muslim girl and boy of yesterday. For whatever reason, what they saw in the world, their heart broke. Their boyfriend kicked them, dumped them. Instead of becoming angry with their boyfriend and with themselves for trusting that boy and his stories, they became angry with Allah. And then they began writing filthy, filthy sentences. What will be said to them? What are you going to get out of it? Then there's that group, recently in Ramadan, before Ramadan, it went out, Confessions of the Sinner. One person told me, read this. I said, I will not even read it. But I mentioned to him one narration. I said, it comes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who is most bold against Allah is the one who commits an error, and Almighty Allah covers his error. And the next morning he wakes up and he says, I'm going to tell you what I did. Confessions of the Sinner. What does he get out of it? Is there some enjoyment in showing Allah? When Allah says, I want to pull you till the ending, make you mine. And the individual says, I don't want to become yours. For that person, Allah said that, remember, Jahannam is there for the transgressor. If you don't want to come to Allah, then walk into the fire. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا, in which they will remain hukub after hukub after hukub. Ahqab means years after years after years after years. And every time a person will say to the angel, will there ever be a time where I can come out? And the angel will say, just wait for another hukub. And then we'll talk again. Hukub could be 80 years plus. After 80 years, it will say, when hukub is finished, this is no problem, another hukub is starting. Another 80 years, then we'll talk again. Allah Ta'ala says, there will be ahqab there. Meaning groups of 80 years, 80 years, 80 years, 80 years. For a disbeliever, there is a word called never-ending punishment. Never-ending punishment. لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا. It will be a place in which you will never taste anything that is cool, anything that is enjoyable. If you're going to taste, it will either be burning, hot, boiling water, وَغَسَّاقَ, or on the other side, extremely cold. Where we like, I like my juice cold, but there is something called freezing cold. Freezing cold is also as deadly as burning hot. Either it will be boiling hot, or it will be freezing cold, غَسَّاقَ. Another explanation of ghassaq is the pus that will come out from some people of Jahannam will be gathered and told to others, if you want to drink, this is the only drink that's available. That will be. So terrible it will be, Allah says, jaza o wifaqa, that this is exactly what your actions had demanded. Allah save us all from that. But that was the one who never wanted to go to Allah. So the one who wants to go, Allah tabarakah, then says, inna lil muttaqina mafazan, that indeed for those people who had this taqwa, taqwa crux of it is fear. I don't want to make my Allah angry. And whenever because of my nature I do mistakes, which man doesn't make mistakes? Which woman doesn't make mistakes? But at least after the mistake I have that fear. Just like how a man does something, he and his wife fights. After the fight, what happens? One of the two of them then say that, you know what, make me maaf. Because they know if I don't say this thing, it's never going to end. So we make a mistake. After we make the mistake, at least then say to Allah, sorry. Are we going to live away from Allah forever? At least after the mistake, Allah says, for the person of taqwa, who has that fear, mafaz, he will find such success. Hada'iqa. Now this is Jannah. It was put in a crux. To explain it is impossible. But Almighty Allah, in about four words, which man normally likes in this world, hada'iq hadika. Hadika, one is a garden. That's hadika. And in one garden itself is everything. You got your flowers, you got your roses, you got your tulips, you got your fruits, you got it all, one garden. And in this world, if man can get just one garden, you say, I'm retiring. A garden in which there's no weeds. A garden which I will never need to find a gardener. A garden which I don't have to worry about the water moves under the garden. A garden where I don't have to go to the fruits of the garden, the fruits come to me, I only need one. If I can be what the world says, the richest in this world, whoever that man is at the moment, all his money together, he's asked, what you want to do? Sometimes I want to reach Mars, I don't know what he wants on Mars. All his wealth in the world, if he is told, he will give you this one garden. One. Whatever you eat in the garden, a Jew heard about how the people of Jannah will eat. And then he heard about, but they will never find a need to go toilets. So the Jews said, impossible. If they are going to be eating, then where are the body going to take out the dirt? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever man will eat, it will come out of the body like fragrance, like ether. That will be, there will be no istinja in that world. It will be a garden where you'll never have to say, I need to go toilet. I need to go out of the garden. All the wealth of this world, if that man can be told, I'll give you just one garden. A garden where you will never need to come out. You will never need to go toilet. Whatever you eat will not make you fat. It will not make you full. Your appetite will always be there. Only fruits, only fruits, only fruits. That man will give his wealth of the world. And he will say, give me that garden. Allah Tabarakullah says, when it will start by you and Allah, hada'iqa, it will start with gardens. It will start with gardens. It will not be one only, it will start with many. Wa'a'naban, and grapes that you can never imagine. Wa'kawa'iba ataraba. This is a verse which is very hard to explain. Had it been male only jamaatia, and no woman was listening or had a chance to listen, then perhaps we could have explained this word in a more easier manner. That's why we said you'll have to learn the meaning of Quran. وَكَوَاعِبُ. Certain women are such that when the year of this part of Jannah, amazing, they say we get angry like. And whatever, Allah's kindness, we are not women, so we don't know how they feel about Jannah. So they cannot understand this, that when Allah has created certain, a shaheed, a martyr will pass away. May Allah make us all die for him. When our martyr passes away, amongst the virtues that is written for him, one is his forgiveness is made on the first second. Awwal aw mahala. On the first second, forgiveness is made. Yumaf. Meaning even before that blood perhaps hits the ground, already the angels told him, game over, you made it. His forgiveness is made immediately. He is saved from any problem in the grave. He is given a crown immediately. He is told, you will intercede for over 70 of your family members. You are boss. And then amongst it is mentioned that his initial meeting will be made with 72 of the women of Jannah. 72 of the women of Jannah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was describing this. And he said that the man will be given quwwata kada wa kada, such and such strength, such and such strength. So a sahabi radiallahu anhu said, but so much strength. On that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one man will be given the strength of 100. One man will be given the strength of 100. That is just the beginning. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear. He said, whatever I have described, whatever has been described to you, whatever you have heard about, that is just the beginning. After that, there starts what Quran has mentioned. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنٍ. That after that, no individual can ever understand what has been hidden for him, which will cause the coolness of his eyes. Nabi Sallallahu said, forget whatever we have described already. After that starts the beginning of paradise. So when we're speaking of the most beautiful hurs of Jannah, we are only speaking about the level we heard and the level we can understand. After that, what's going to come? After that is things that it has never been mentioned. It has never been mentioned. How Allah will continue creating. Inna ansha'na hunna insha'a. Allah says, we made them. This verse, wa kawa'iba atraba. It is a verse which makes man get desirous of paradise. It is a word that creates desire or supposed to be in the woman. Because when the hurs of Jannah are going to be so, so unique, kawa'ib, atraba, then the women of this world who live with iman, their beauty compared to the hurs of Jannah will be like the sun and the stars. When the hur will have this, ka'abun refers to anything that protrudes. In a woman's body normally, it is the higher part of the body that is regarded as the most beautiful or attractive. When a woman gets married because of her young age, she will find that her body feature is tight. Every part of the body keeps its shape. When she will give birth, then her body becomes loose. Like how me and you, if we eat, then a little fat comes. No one stays tight. That is why they have what is called surgery, facial surgery, plastic surgery. Pull your skin back, let's make it tight. This world can't do it. They can try what they want, the body can't keep its shape. Ka'abun refers to anything that protrudes. In the higher part of the woman's body, there are those parts that has a shape at the beginning. But as the woman gets older, then it starts losing its shape. It starts dropping. Almighty Allah has spoken about the shape of the woman in that world, وَكَوَاعِبَ, that they will keep their shape till the ending. They will remain as tight as can be till the ending. No, there's no ending. Allah Tabarakallah says, إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَا هُنَّ إِنْشَاءَ فَجَعَلْنَا هُنَّ أَبْكَارًا. We have made them what we call virgin. They are permanent virgins, meaning that tightness, that will remain forever. If the hurs of Jannah are going to be, then the women of this world, there they will never have to look for, I need cream. They will never have to look for, I need makeup. They will just walk out of their houses and they will be the sun. They will be unique on every meeting. Every time it comes, where the husband will come back to his wife of this world, and he will say, how beautiful you are. But when I left you, you were not as beautiful. She will say, you went out to the market in which you had a relationship of meeting with Almighty Allah. That meeting of Allah with you made you more handsome, meaning levels we can't imagine. I cannot describe to you what we will look at, because Allah's Nabi said, leave out what I described. After that it's starting. It's going to start after that. How beautiful, how handsome man will become, we can't understand. How beautiful woman will become, we cannot understand. He will say, what happened to you? She will say, when meeting with Allah made you more handsome, Almighty Allah came to meet with us. And the meeting with us made us more beautiful. There will be markets in Jannah. Man will enter in the markets. You enter in the market to see what are new models, what is on the new levels which can never be imagined. You will see such forms. The man will say, I wish. There's no wish. As soon as he wishes, it comes in the hadith, man will walk in that form, and that form will be his. This will be window shopping which will be real. It can only happen in Jannah. That woman of day cannot come here. One head, scarf of hers cannot drop here. Little saliva cannot come here. To get it, man and woman of this world were told, if you want, in this world they call it a figure like a trigger. But you don't get that figure story. It's a lie. The woman dies to make that figure. She can't get it. The one on the other side on the screen is also a lie. They are showering her with... There was one place we spoke about this. We said we are now visiting houses. People put us up. Those are the houses which are called the people of Deen. Allah's kindness, in their houses we are put up. In their houses you will see on their shelves, there's so many creams, so many makeups, so many, I don't know what, each one anti-aging. You won't get old, you get more white, you won't get like this. I'm wondering if the person puts on so much cream, there'll be no face left. How much? So one place I said this year, a few men were very happy. I mentioned this first, that I went to a certain place, a boy was shiny. So I said to the boy, either whole night you read tahajjud, or your mother put Vaseline on. It was Vaseline, that was one. I said, it's not going to work, this thing. The whatever we put on this world has its side effects. And very fast its side effects come. The makeup of today has so much of ingredients. But when the man is buying something in the shop, the only thing he looks for is buy two for the price of one. Whatever is inside makes no difference. As long as it writes on the outside, coconut maybe, or you see a nice olive oil, that means this is good stuff. We don't know what's in it. It's being made in companies that do not like Muslims. It is being made in countries that do not like men. The very same places who have labs that produce sicknesses. The very same places that take out sicknesses and push it in the world like cancer and AIDS. In those very first world countries, makeup is also made. Where they hate men so much that they can create sicknesses like cancer. And they can enjoy seeing men and women suffer. You cannot trust those people when they're making that makeup. So just because they say it's very cheap. So in that lecture I said the only change or the only real effect I saw of all of that makeup, it never affected anyone's faces. Because that face the next morning doesn't get smarter. The next morning it needs more makeup. That's why new makeup is coming in the market always. The only real effect I found of makeup is the effect it's having on the pockets of the husband. When I said that, one uncle was very happy about this. Because it's an expensive game, this. If you really want to, Sahabiyat radiallahu anhunna would also put. They would put natural. If you really want to spend a little extra and buy less and buy that which is natural, which is not made in companies. Because that which is made in companies is like you going to your enemy and you saying, I heard you got something to make me smarter. That enemy hates us. And still we are ready to pay the price. If your wife wants to put on something or you want her so you can make her look like how she was when she just got married, then go look for something that's natural. But remember that this world cannot keep tightness. Man in this world and woman will become loose. My skin has to drop, whether I like it or not. The black beard has to become white. Kamar jukke mithal kaman ho gayi. Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, you were standing so straight, but a day comes where you have to bend and you become like the bow. This is not paradise where the girl is figure like a trigger and the boy is the boss forever. Allah made old age set in this world so that man will say, I cannot be like the child in the womb. They think that this world is paradise. It's not paradise. So the next time you look in the mirror and you see the wrinkle, then don't start screaming. Immediately smile and say that this wrinkle came to tell me, this is not the world of beauty. This is the world which introduces us to the world of beauty. Old age itself is a gift from Allah. And if you're going to die to try to live young, you are going to be putting so many things on your body that even before dying you will kill yourself. This world, Cleopatra used to bathe in milk. They told her, milk will keep your skin, milk. How many liters of milk were needed in that tub daily? She used to bathe in milk thinking she will last. If someone asks who lasted, you will say Fatima radiallahu anha was the one who lasted. In this world, she could not look after the state of her finger. For which reason Ali radiallahu anha said, already her fingers are becoming dry. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will give you something that is better than the workers of this world. Why don't you read one subhanallah? Said 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah. He gave us something called Tasbih-e-Fatimi. She read it. The whole world as we read it, everything is in her account. It took her to the level, she's the queen of paradise. Queen. She never needed the milk of Cleopatra, she needed one, subhanallah. A wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what a wonderful question. She said, where will we ever compete with the woman of paradise? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where will they ever manage to compete with the woman of this world? He said, where will they be when it will come to the noor of your salah, and the noor of your zakat, and the noor of your tasbih? They will not have that. He said, where will they manage to compete? Wagawarib, everyone will be tight. Where the hurs of Jannah will keep that shape, the woman of this world will have that shape. At-taraba, and they will be of that age which is just right for you. We're married in this world, when you get married, what's the bayan of marriage? That remember, no two people think alike. No two people look alike. No two people walk alike. The boy is told, marriage means you must also give in. And the woman is told, marriage means you must also give in. He will not like food like how you like it. Both parties have to play their part. Will you ever find a marriage when a man says, I'm such an imam sahab, I'm going to read the khutbah. After this khutbah, she will become yours, you will become hers. Whatever you like, she likes. Whatever she likes, you like. It can't happen. Allah says, there at-taraba, I will make her for you. I will make her for you. Other verses of Quran, حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ. It will be those damsels who will be kept in their own, like what we will call beautiful tents. Ulama mentioned that girl will find no need to leave that tent looking for any enjoyment out of the tent. Her husband and the things of the tent will be more than enough for her. She will never go out. Her eye will never ever allow itself to settle on any other man. For her there will be no one but her man. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, man will be able to see. There will be no lie by the woman of paradise. She can be so pure that there will be times where man will be able to see the love that she has for him in her inside. He will be able to actually look through her and he will see that love sparkling. We can't understand it here because we only saw level zero. Level zero explained to us what the beginning level day is going to be. After that, perhaps you heard about fairies. Perhaps you heard about flying in the sky. Perhaps you heard about one getting more smarter than the other. It only happens in paradise. This world was to tell order. A pretty girl walks past you in school, in university, in the work. You don't have to look. You can sometimes look away and say, Allah, you only created her here to show me what you got there. And then one thing was said to me, now don't sacrifice what's there for what you got here. Don't die for the mosquito when you got the real thing coming. It is a few days of sabr. The martyr did it and he found all his problems were gone. Starting with 72 in that world, me and you can also die for Allah. Allah put it in four words. Hadaiqa, gardens. Wa'anaba, and grapes. Wa'kawa'iba, and the woman who will keep their shape. Ataraba, as the age and the ways you want. Wa'ka'san dihaqa, and your cup will always be full. And your cup will always be full. That sentence in Arabic we call it, there's something called muhawara, there's something called balagha. One person said to another, what's the miracle of Quran? So the man said, you are master in the Arabic language, are you not? He said, I am. He said, how many years have you studied the language? He said, so many years. He said, no problem. He said, I want you to describe to me that if you ever had to say that Jahannam is very huge, then in the Arabic language there's so many words for huge, like how we have in English, huge and big, extremely big. English is small still, but in Arabic you've got words. So he said, you tell me, like, so the man said, I will say, like, inna Jahannama lawasi'un, wasi'un, amiqun, kabirun. These are all words which means big and wide and... So he gave. And the man said, come, I will now tell you how Allah describes when we say how huge Jahannam will be. He says, Almighty Allah explained it like this. He says, on that day, when Jahannam will say, on that day, when Jahannam will say, when Almighty Allah will ask Jahannam, Halim tala'at, that are you full, O Jahannam? Meaning so many millions will be in the fire. And burning with those millions and billions, Almighty Allah will say on that day, Halim tala'at, that, O Jahannam, are you full? And Jahannam will say, Hal mim mazid, that is there more for me, I'm still hungry. Said, do you get it like this? This is called balagha. That how you explain something is big. That after you fill it with everything, and he says, I'm hungry. When Allah wanted to describe Jannah now, he said, وَكَأْسًا dihaqa, that your glass will always be full. Meaning, in Jannah, man will be drinking like anything. But the glass will never go down. Your stomach will be able to take everything. But the glass will not go down. Man will be going out of his way enjoying. But the glass will not go down. Another way of saying it is, You will go out of your way enjoying the enjoyments of Jannah, and Allah's machine of making something even better will never stop. You will just be climbing and Allah will be climbing. You will climb and Allah will climb. At the end of Surah Kahf, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. When they will enter into paradise, no person will ever say, I want to come out of it. So one question is asked, that in this world, man got married that night, and he told his friends, I'm not going to see you all for the next 1 week. I just got married, don't phone me. But we all know the next morning before they phone him, he's WhatsApping. Because this world is such, you can enjoy yourself for 2 hours and then you become tired. So there when it was said, you will never reach that time where I'm searching for something else. How can that be possible? La yabghuna anha hiwala. Almighty Allah gave one answer. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلًا. Allah Ta'ala says, tell the world that let's just say the ocean had to be ink to write the commands of Almighty Allah. 7 oceans. Another verse says, let 7 oceans be ink. If all that 7 oceans get finished, another 7 oceans. So much of ink. If ever you had the chance to write with that reed, it's like a piece of wood. They dip it in the ink, and with that day you can write, example, a whole piece of paper. And then you'll dip it in again and you can write. In writing, there's 2 letters that Quran speaks about. One is Kaf, and we all know how to write Kaf. And one is Noon. Kaf and Noon together becomes Kun. Kun means be. When describing how this whole world came into being, this whole world, with its mountains of Switzerland and the beauties of Alaska, and then you go to the Kruger Park and you want to see and say amazing, and then you want to go to the far corners of Africa, you want to go to Kenya, you want to go to Canada, you want to go North and South America, you want to go to the places no one ever, everything. And in everything, all the beautiful women, and all the beautiful scenes, all the wonderful creatures, whatever's above, whatever's in the water, you go with your submarines, they say every day it's a new exploration, we are seeing things we never saw in the past, each thing looks so different, so unique, every day a new excursion, everything came into being, from Adam alayhi salam till the last day. Everything came into being with one Kaf and one Noon. How much ink would have been used to write the Kaf and Noon? It would have been one dip and Kaf and Noon, and still there was enough ink to continue writing another 100 Kaf and Noons. With one Kaf and Noon, we are enjoying whatever we are seeing. Almighty Allah in this verse is indicating that by Allah, I got a lot of Kaf and Noons. With each Kaf and Noon, an entire new world will be created. Something we can never imagine. It will be episode 2. Episode 2, if ever we're getting tired, episode 3 will start. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. The cup will never get, it will always be brimming. Episode 3 will start. The woman will be different, the enjoyments will be different, man's body level will be different, strength will be different, everything will be different. Episode 3 you enjoying, episode 4, perhaps after 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 episodes will be 100 kuns finish. After that will be a need for the second dip. Second dip will write again another 100 episodes. Episode after episode, episode after episode. Now this verse comes. Say to the world, if the ocean has to become ink to continue writing the kuns of Almighty Allah, Kaf, Noon, then perhaps a time will come that even the inks of the oceans will come to an end But the Kaf and Noon of Allah will never ever come to an end. The episodes will never end. A world of never ever ending enjoyment which can never be understood. It only starts with وَحَدَائِكَ أَعْنَابًا وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. You will drink there, but there will be no intoxication. There will be no arguments. There will be no fights. There will be no hatred. There will be only love. There will be only unity. There will only be enjoyment. Allah make all of us from the people of paradise. In this world, we have been shown the sample of day. So whenever we see it, we have to say, Allah, I order it. Meaning, I want it. In this world, the snake sometimes also goes past. The scorpion goes past. Sometimes the mosquito troubles. It wasn't brought to make us complain. It was brought to tell us that if you can't manage it here, then you rather from now saying, Allah, I know I'm not going to manage it there also. The problems in this world were brought to tell you that bigger problems are in front. And the enjoyments of this world were brought to tell us bigger enjoyments are in front. We should not be the opposite. That when enjoyments come, we forget really enjoyments and we get stuck. And when problems come, then we forget that this is the introduction to big problems and we get stuck in the problem. And we fall in depression and we're angry. There we were in pride and enjoyment. We were blind there, we were blind here. May Allah tabarakallah make us, we never ever blind. Problems come in this world, immediately we say, Allah, if I can't manage it here, I'm not going to manage it there. Enjoyment comes in this world. We say, Allah, this is only the introduction to what's coming. I order the real thing, even if I have to make sabr for a while from the fake thing. May Allah tabarakallah open up the doors. How Sahaba radiallahu anhum saw Jannah coming closer and closer. If me and you can get little of the meaning of Quran, then we can also read, Inna lil muttaqeena mafazan. حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب ترابا وكأسا دهاقا. And we can see the glass brimming. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك. And then Allah Ta'ala says, this is the pay that has come from you, Allah. عطاء, actually not pay, a gift that has come from you, Allah. عطاء. Allah Ta'ala bless us to get some meaning of Quran. And if that meaning can come, then we can start. We can read it. When we in problems, we can read it. When we in enjoyments, we can read it. It will show us the real path. Wa afiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.